For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We're talking about Ryan Day, and I just think it's plain as day that there are high expectations, and it's always weird to me when like national media members diffuse expectations as if people in Columbus are being irrational. Ryan Day has had a lot of success, but there are two things you count head coaches at Ohio State on, and it is, did you beat Michigan and have you won a national championship? And I'm curious to see how making the playoffs, whether that becomes an acceptable in-between of those two things. Like, okay, you beat Michigan, you make the playoffs. Is that enough? All right, you maybe lost to Michigan, but you made the playoffs and then won a national championship. Is that enough? These are all things we'll explore many times over in conversations over the next few years. But I don't think Ohio State fans are being unreasonable by demanding that you beat Michigan after losing to them three straight years and looking at the quality of talent that has come through Columbus and look at this and go, okay, why haven't we won one? You had C.J. Mm-hmm. Stroud, who's clearly pretty good. I'm not sure if you've seen him in the NFL. You've had Justin Fields, who was the 11th pick in the NFL draft. And by the way, that's two quarterbacks. You look at the rest of the roster, you've been replete up until this year in the NFL. You've been replete with first-round picks, second-round picks, third-round picks, and beyond. This year was the one year where, because a lot of the dudes didn't go to the NFL, you had what felt like a record low number of draft picks from Ohio State. So I don't really get when national people kind of make it look like Buckeyes fans are being crazy, because that is a well-established bar in Columbus. And honestly, it's a well-established bar in Michigan as well.
Yeah, dude, this is a huge rivalry that matters so much. And I just think people out there are just like brushing this off. Like, it's not, dude, unless you live in this state or went there or are a diehard fan, like, you don't get it.
Yeah, it's to me, it's just a failure to understand the stakes. And because I think any time an organization or any time a college basketball, college football program goes all in every conceivable way, if you have a high bar, not reaching that bar will come with consequences. And I thought it was interesting. Paul Feinbaum was on ESPN of course, Big Ten Media Days rolling on this weekend, and Feinbaum just blasted Ryan Day.
Molly, I have no idea what he's talking about. He's lost that game 3 years in a row, and he's talking about how his players are motivated to come back and play. Well, I heard that 3 years ago, 2 years ago, and last year. It stunk in all three games. I mean, what are you talking about? And here's the problem with talking about Ryan Day. You look at his record, and I'm sure Doggy will quote it, and Stephen A. will quote it. It's gaudy. Nobody has a record like him, except you can't choke the biggest game of the year. If he can't beat Michigan this year when he's got probably the best team in the country along with Georgia, after Harbaugh leaves, after all those great players depart, after a national championship, he ought to be gone. It's simple as that. That's the biggest game of the year in the Big Ten, and I realize that Ohio State played for a national championship a couple years ago against Alabama. Only lost by 28 points. They've been to the playoffs, but that program hasn't won a national championship since 2014 when Urban Meyer was there. So quit making excuses, Ryan Day. Quit acting like your players have given up something to come back. 3 years ago, they came back. 2 years ago, they came back. And 1 year ago, they came back. And it's been the same result. Versus the last three games against Michigan.
Now, in fairness, Paul is kind of being playfully ignorant on the fact that, I mean, Ohio State brought back a lot of guys who could have gone to the draft. JT Tuimoloau could have gone to the draft. Emeka Ogbuka could have gone to the draft. I don't know any one of those guys would have been first-round picks, but there were, now I'm trying to think of the big defensive tackle. Tyleek Williams, they did have five, six, seven players who could have been top 100 picks and came back for a chance to go ahead and make more NIL money.
JTT would have been. He would have been day one, like top 20 pick probably.
That's interesting because I was kind of hedging what I was saying, mostly because I don't know if he would have been.
No, I think pretty much every mock until the time that he said he was coming back, every mock had had him first round.
Okay. So, like, this is not like, well, they had guys who had to come back because they didn't have the pro route. Like, this is a unique situation. Everything else he said is kind of how we should think about the situation. Like, Ryan Day was polishing a bit of a turd earlier this week when he said this, which led to Paul Feinbaum destroying him.
Probably one of the biggest, you know, struggles that we have is that, you know, when you lose a game like that, you know, you have to wait a whole nother year to get back into that game. And, you know, for our guys who decided to come back, we had about 12 guys that made the decision to come back. That was one of the big reasons why they decided to come back. But what we have to do is build every day and grow every day and count on the work that we're doing on a daily basis. That's going to matter as we get to the end of the season. And, you know, what we can't do is get too far ahead of ourselves and start to focus too much on that and get distracted. That's just the bottom line. But when you come to Ohio State, you got to win that game.
Can I tell you, though?
Tell me.
Every time Ryan Day talks about the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry, it doesn't sound like he's in it. Like, I didn't, that just sounded cliche to me. Like, there's nothing about that felt authentic, and I do think that's, like, Ryan Day's biggest problem. Like, I'm sure Ryan Day doesn't like to lose games, so I'm not trying to hammer the guy. But, like, listen to that whole thing. Well, that's, you know, you don't come to Ohio State to lose to Michigan. Like, what does he say? Oh, well, we can't take our eye off, you know, we can't get distracted. Like, what does it mean to you to lose to Michigan? Because if it doesn't fill you with absolute contempt, then you really aren't the right guy for this program. Like, did you hear that? I don't know, man. There's something about when this dude talks about the rivalry, I totally get why Ohio State fans can't.
It doesn't come across as passionate.
Yeah.
Is that the right word?
Yeah,
passionate?
Authentic's another great
authentic's
word.
Authentic's a good word, yeah.
It sounds like ChatGPT talking about the Ohio
State-Michigan
rivalry.
Like, when Urban talked about Ohio State versus Michigan, it got you fired up.
Yeah.
You know, same thing with Tress. You believed it. Yeah, obviously, Tress, I mean...
Fickle.
I hate
to weaponize Fickle against Ryan Day, but that's a real thing.
Yeah, I mean, dude, Fickle... here's the thing, like, Ryan Day's only been an Ohio State... anything since 2017.
Yeah.
I don't want to hold it against the guy because he's a hell of a football coach. And look, a couple things bounce your way. Like, you beat Michigan. You may have beat them last year.
Well, is it that hard to hate, to fake it? You know what I mean? Like, I guarantee you there are coaches who go into a rivalry, even great rivalries, who didn't play there, who didn't grow up in the state, who adopt a rivalry. And maybe it's not as authentic as it seems, but they make you feel like they live and die for that moment. Everything with Ryan Day feels like, yeah, I think he understands it in like a conceptual way, but Ryan Day doesn't feel like he's a part of it. And listen, I'll be honest with you. Michigan has done a better job of wanting to win the rivalry. Really... It really kind of coincides with Harbaugh taking over, but then Urban stepping down. And I still don't... You've done everything, right? You've protected yourself from Ryan Day, the robotic play caller. And that was a criticism that I had last year, watching him in moments where it's just like, what's your identity as a play caller? You know, like, I can tell you who Kevin Stefanski's identity is as a play caller. Like, I can tell you that dude's going to do something, and it's going to make sense, but it's going to be aggressive, and it's going to make sense. Ryan Day is selectively aggressive and not always when it makes sense, and most of the time, he kind of just plays it safe. So, he's a little cookie cutter. Again, he's, like, the way the game flow works with it, it feels a little... inauthentic itself. But that's why Chip Kelly's here. Chip Kelly is a mastermind of a play caller, and the guys had some really good moments offensively with not a lot of talent at UCLA the last couple of years.
Yeah, he has. And, you know, I like Chip Kelly in this role where he doesn't have to be the head coach, where he doesn't have to get up and talk to people. Like, just go get in the lab, man.
Yep, just go do the
thing.
Just
draw it up. You know, get together the game plan. You got all these great players. You know, you can have some fun.
But you've spent the last, okay, maybe Michigan had more talent, they had more experience. You've got by far the most depth you've had in 3 years. You've got more experience. Like, basically, last year, Michigan was a super team with all these COVID-year guys, fifth-year guys, you know, all these guys. Everything for Michigan went into last year. You're effectively that. So the roster is, in a way, Ryan Day-ified, meaning that you're Ryan Day-proofing the roster. You know the one thing you can't Ryan Day-proof? The biggest rivalry in football. And it's like, I can hire an offensive coordinator. I can, we can retain Jim Knowles. We can bring back Ty Leak. We can bring back JTT. We can bring back Jack Sawyer. We can bring back Denzel Burke and Emeka Abuka. You can spend $34 million bringing in a great NIL class and keeping this team together, like with Quinshon Judkins and Will Howard. You can do everything that you maybe didn't have last year or maybe you haven't had the last 3 years. But if Ryan Day doesn't yearn to beat Michigan, I think his ass is grass. Like, I just think it's that simple. You cannot manufacture, hey, Ryan, here's how we're going to protect you against yourself when it comes to wanting to beat Michigan and preparing. That's what it is, preparing to beat Michigan for every second of the season and for every second of the offseason.
You know, the other thing too, Nick, and this is obviously something that we've had to deal with for the last several years, and that's going to continue and probably get worse, but like, we got guys on our team, like Judkins, he's going to be here for a year. Mm-hmm. Will Howard's going to be here for a year. What's Will Howard know about the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry?
I think that's a fair question. And you got him out of necessity because you chose poorly in keeping Kyle McCord and not finding the disruption of the quarterback pipeline. Going and getting Will Howard is trying to make up for
bad recruiting.
Yeah, I mean, you went from Dwayne Haskins to Justin Fields to CJ Stroud. That's a pipeline. And I know you had Quinn Ewers. You couldn't do anything about that. But like,
three first round picks, dude.
Yeah, but like, Kyle McCord and Devin Brown were Ryan Day guys. So even you can't do anything about losing Quinn Ewers because Quinn didn't want to sit on the bench behind CJ Stroud for one more year. Totally makes sense. But like, okay, you couldn't have done something before that. And then I'll go back to it. That first interception against Michigan is why you lost the Michigan game. That's the difference. That is right there. Okay, who recruited him? Or recruited him, as I was going to say. Oh, Lord. 216-474.
You got recruities?
That's Ryan Day's problem. He's got recruities.
He's got the recruities.
Eric, welcome to the show.
What's up, Eric?
I was in such a flow. Hi. What's up, buddy?
Not much. Hey, I've been listening to this Ohio State-Michigan debate for the last couple weeks. It's been off and on. And I just want to bring up one thing that nobody's really talking about anymore, and that's the fact that Michigan and Harbaugh was caught in that cheating scandal. Now, I'm not given, maybe that's not the excuse of this last loss, but what about the previous 2 years? I mean, nobody's bringing that up anymore, and I think that had a lot to do with why we lost those other games.
All right. Let me see here. Eric, we appreciate you, buddy. I think no one's talking about it because it didn't matter.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Quartet pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I know I was not part of the witch hunt against Jim Harbaugh and Michigan this last year. I thought Ohio State fans were being ridiculous with saying that this is why Michigan had been as good. One, the things that Connor Stallions was accused of and that the NCAA harangued Jim Harbaugh for a good, 3 months. Those things are a lot more rampant in football. The basic advanced scoutings are basically what it is. The use of technology, guys, every program in America skirts every single line that you have if they're any good.
The helmet communication, by the way, is going to be good this year.
Yeah, I think that's going to be awesome. Actually, I think it also helps a guy like Chip Kelly. I don't remember when they cut off communication, but I'm going to imagine Chip's going to be in the quarterback's ear for most of that time.
Yeah, and he's a guy that's done in the NFL, so like that's huge. I did a spring game, and it was pretty cool to see how they use it. So,
but
what have we been doing for all these years?
But there's a reason that the Michigan thing has died. I mean, the Michigan scandal has died because it didn't really matter. I tend to think it was a bit of a, I'll be honest, I think it was a media creation. I think it was massively overblown. Jim was never going to get fired from it. Everybody calling for the death penalty, it never happened. Why? Because the NCAA doesn't have the stones to do it. They don't have the power to do it. And because it wasn't that big of a deal. And if Ryan Day in his heart of hearts believe that he's lost to Michigan 3 straight years because of sign stealing, he's already fired. Like that's the real. And I should actually be said, like, I have taken some shots at Ryan in this. I want Ryan to succeed. I do think that they are. It is razor thin how close they are to being what they were under Urban. They're really not that far. This isn't Dabo and Clemson, by the way. This isn't that you've gone from winning 14 games every year to winning 10 games every year or 9 games every day. This isn't that. But he's not beating Michigan, and he hasn't won a national championship. And it has nothing to do with the sign stealing. You know how I know? Because everybody cheats. It is just the reality of college athletics. And the people that aren't cheating anymore, quite frankly, don't have jobs for very long. And by the way, if you think that it was the Spygate thing. The Spygate thing's the dumbest thing in the world because everybody in the NFL is doing crap.
When's
like that
Connor Stallions documentary coming out?
Isn't it like next month?
Yeah, it's like August 21st or 24th, something like
dude,
that.
I cannot wait.
If I'm Connor Stallions,
there's so many good stories.
I take credit for everything.
Well, yeah, then you get hired.
Yeah. Well, no, because here's unless you got the golden
parachute. Someone's
going to
hire that guy, like under the radar.
Do you think he got a golden parachute?
Golden parachute?
Do you think the forces that be were like, hey, you're going to get fired, but here's a, what is it?
My head's in the gutter.
Seven, eight figure deal for you to never say a bad word about this thing again and never talk.
Guy?
So we found out in the break, we're just sticking to moving. We found out in the break that Jax told us, and this is a direct quote, I drink chocolate milk with every meal. Jax, have I missed?
Is he 10?
Have I gone? full Lima and taken you out of context?
No.
Okay.
100%.
So how it like? Is this a literal thing, or you? Is it like a roundup?
Like at home, I don't go out to dinner and get chocolate milk. So I guess that.
Okay, that actually does make this a little bit better.
Yeah.
If you were how old?
22.
Yeah, and you're like
at a steakhouse ordering chocolate milk with your steak.
With your
would you like
your
that
girlfriend.
In a baba?
That's really funny.
Unintentionally.
Unintentionally funny. So how much chocolate milk do you go through in a
lot.
Week?
Like 3 gallons.
Just you?
Yeah. Nobody else drinks the chocolate milk in my house.
It's more expensive too, like significantly
it's
more.
It is.
Yeah.
Now do you like have a style, like do you have a preference? Like yeah, Smith's had the old fashioned, which is delicious.
The Hartzler.
The what?
The what?
Hartzler.
Oh. you made my heart skip a beat. I thought you said.
Our reactions were simultaneous.
I thought you said Hartzler.
Yep.
What the hell are you talking about? So Hartzler's.
Urban Dictionary.
I don't think you need Urban Dictionary for that one. Oh, I think you need Twitter, quite frankly. Oh, well, Dustin, what do you want to talk about? There's
so shout out to my good buddies over at Extend Technology.
All right.
I'm just changing it up.
No,
well, we got to get to this.
Yeah.
We haven't got it. Yeah, we got to get.
Let's get into it. Set it up.
So my basement like a year ago flooded, and so we had to like redo the entire thing. And we had furniture. It's a finished basement, but like we had to redo everything. New floors. I mean, it was expensive. Like just to get the water out.
Yeah.
And redo the floors and stuff. Like everything had to be done. So it's taken a while. We're trying to like kind of have like a little mini theater downstairs. And so talked to the guys over at Extend. They're awesome. John, shout out to John. He's fantastic. But they we're getting a TV, 100-inch.
Mm-hmm.
Big ass TV.
Now you're not rounding up, right? It's not like 98 inches and it's 100.
It's a hundo.
Okay.
It's a big dog.
Okay.
It's the donkey TV, Nick.
The old donkey TV. That's what we've all been asking for. Also, do not search that on Urban Dictionary, but continue.
So, the donkey TV? I hate you.
You should. I should not have done that. I should have just let it go. Continue, please.
So, we bought the TV, and I don't know if they measured the stairwell.
Yeah.
To go down to the basement, because it's not a straight downstairs. Like you got to go down.
Is there a pivot in there?
There's a pivot and a hard left.
Ooh, that's tough.
Mm-hmm. And like a little landing, and then you got to turn left. And so they brought the TV this morning, and I talked to you guys about this yesterday. I'm like, dude, if you got a TV that big and there's no way to get it down to your basement, you knock out the drywall?
Yeah, absolutely. Not even no, for a TV, for very few things would I say yes. For instance, like kind of a convoluted couch setup. If it's that tough to get down, I don't have to rip the wall. A TV, TV's the most important part of said man cave.
Right.
So, yeah, that's 100. Yeah. Had they had to do that, that would have been the right thing.
We were nervous about it. And, you know, we just got some new couches for the basement, or a couch, I should say, for the basement. It's almost like a theater seating deal.
Mm-hmm.
Got those Love Sacks couches. Nice. They're awesome. They're not cheap, by the way. My God, I thought they were going to be cheaper.
Yeah.
Not the case. So I was taking the boxes downstairs, and literally the last box, I lose grip on, and it rolls down the stairs and just takes a huge chunk out of the wall. Like, basically, the wall needs to be completely fixed. I'm like, you know what? If the TV doesn't fit, just knock the wall out.
Yeah.
Thankfully, we didn't have to do that.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.